all familiar with, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because our country, as we know, has been going through some hard economic times. Now, if you were to look the word up in a dictionary, it would say something like this. It would say, first of all, that it is the act of withdrawing or going back. And then it would explain that it is an extended decline in general business activity, typically two consecutive quarters of falling real gross national product. Now, when it is a deep recession, as the expression goes, all of this, of course, involves job losses and plant closures and tough times for families. And as I said, we all know too well from a personal standpoint what a recession is. We have listened to the news media talk about the collapse of major banking institutions, the worst stock market plummets since 1929, and so on. And there has been much debate about how to revive our economy and whether or not the stimulus package, as it has now become known as, and of course, basically, that has to do with pumping billions of dollars into the economy. We know that there has been a lot of discussion as to whether or not that is going to work. Now, I'm not going to get involved in the politics of all of that tonight, other than to say that we all hope, I'm sure, that things are going to get better, and as a nation, that we're going to climb our way out of this recession. And yet in my sermon tonight, really I am interested in a different kind of recession. And really I think it is one that we all have to deal with from time to time. And let me say that really it is the worst kind of recession that there is, because it is spiritual in nature and it has consequences that reaches into eternity itself. Now, isn't it true tonight that we sometimes suffer with our own personal recessions? In other words, there are down times, we might say, in our lives where we feel like that we're in a spiritual recession. We are in a weakened condition. And yes, we need some kind of stimulus, if you please, to get us up and going. And I want to say that if you feel that way, certainly do not lose heart and don't give up, because I want to say, first of all, that God does have a stimulus package for you. Did you know that? God has a stimulus package for you. And furthermore, I want you to know that you are not alone in feeling this way. And in fact, this is how David obviously felt in the 119th Psalm, when in verse 25, he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." And then he said, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." I want you to notice here that David felt the need to be quickened. The Revised Standard Version says, "Revive me." And I believe really that's what he's saying. He's saying, "Revive me according to thy word." That's what David was desirous of. He was desirous of a revival in his personal life that would enable him to climb out of this spiritual slump that he had found himself in. And let me say that really, in a remarkable way, in Psalms 119 and verses 25 through 32, David describes how God took him from being down and out in a spiritual sense to up and running. I want you to notice how this section of the psalm both begins and ends. As we've already noticed in verse 25, he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word." But then he ends this section by saying in verse 32, "I will run." Notice that. "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." I believe here's the question that cries out for an answer tonight. And that is, what happened between verses 25 through verse 32 that brought about this change? And I believe that if we can discover the answer to that question, that we're going to be able to see the personal revival that David experienced in his life as he overcame the spiritual recession. I want you to notice again that David said, revive me, quicken thou me, listen now, according to thy word. The issue is tonight, what does revival look like according to the word of God? And I think when we consider what David says here in these verses, that certainly we get some insight into that. And in the time that I have remaining now, I want to notice a couple of the things that David says. And let us notice, first of all, that David indicates that it begins with a realization of our personal great need. A realization, you see, that enables us to seek God, to confess our sins, and to desire a change. And I believe this comes through loud and clear in David's opening words. It reveals the heart of a man who is seeking for personal revival, as someone who is stuck to this world and he wants to be revived and restored. And I think that you can feel the sense of desperation that David has when he says, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Think about what he says. My soul cleaveth to the dust. You know what? When you're down on the ground and you're facing the dust, I want to tell you tonight, there's only one way to look. And that, of course, is to look up. And notice David says that he is stuck in this condition. In other words, it is as if his face is down to the ground and he feels stuck there. He is spiritually grounded. He is unable to move. He is down and out. I understand the word cleave here in the Greek translation of the Old Testament was the word that was used for glue. Notice David says, I am stuck. I am glued to something and it is stuck to me. What is it? He says, it is dust. And I dare say tonight that dust is not something normally desired to be stuck to us. I understand that in the old cattle drives in the American West, that the last place any cowboy wanted to be was riding drag, as they called it. This is where you were at the back of the herd. And you can imagine what would happen. Dust was constantly coming your way. And eventually you would literally be covered in layers with dust from head to foot. And of course, obviously, that was something that was hard to get off. Here's what David says, I've been stuck to. I've been stuck to the dust. Let us understand to the Jews that dust was the language of humiliation and defeat. In fact, we kind of use a similar expression. Don't we say sometimes, he bit the dust. And you see, by using this language, David is talking about a situation where he is reeling in despair. What he's saying is this. He is saying, I am completely discouraged. He's saying, I am sunk to the ground under the crushing weight of trouble. He's saying, I am in a spiritual recession. And yes, I'm on a path to a great spiritual depression, if indeed there is not a turnaround in my life. And yet here's the encouraging thing about it tonight. Notice that even though David felt this way, all was not lost because David knew who to look to. He knew who it was that would help him climb out of this recession. And notice the first thing he does is acknowledge his condition and to acknowledge his need for God. And here's the good news. By the time we get to verse 32, only 7 verses later, he says that he is up and he is running again. And so what does that tell us tonight? That tells us, as I've already said, that God has a stimulus plan for his children. He really does. He provides us with several spiritual weapons and tools that we can use when we find ourselves in a spiritual recession. I want to put it like this tonight. Here's the question I want to pose to you. And I wonder, really, can you relate to this at all? Do you ever feel like sometimes, and I'm talking, of course, spiritually now, you ever feel like sometimes you're in a spiritual pit? You're in a pit? Maybe to put it another way, you feel like you're in a deep spiritual rut as it were, and you don't know exactly how to get out of that rut or how to get out of that pit. Surely most of us, if not all of us tonight, can relate to that on some level. You know what? Again, David could. Because David in Psalms 40 and the first two verses, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Listen now, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I want to say again, when you're in a pit, there's only one direction really that you can look up, and that direction is up. You need to look upward unto God. Now I want to pose right here a series of questions. And really I want to pose these questions for effect tonight. Here's the first question I want to ask you. What is worse than being in a pit? You ever stop to think about that? What is worse than being in a pit? You know what the answer is? Being in a pit on a snowy day. Wouldn't you agree with that? A snowy day would be icy and would be slippery. Can you imagine being in a pit on a snowy day? Now here's the next question. What is worse than being in a pit on a snowy day? You know what the answer is? Being in a pit on a snowy day with a lion in it. Wouldn't you agree with that? Can you imagine being in a pit with a lion? And yet when we turn to 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 22, there it talks about a man by the name of Benaiah. And listen to what the Bible says. It says he went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Can you imagine that? Went down into a pit on a snowy day and he slew a lion. And no wonder the Bible describes him as a mighty man. In fact, the Bible says there were three mighties. That's the word the King James Version uses. There were three mighties, and he was one of those mighty men. Now here's the point I want you to get. We are exhorted in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, the point is tonight that if we will use the Lord's stimulus plan that he has provided us with, we can also be delivered from that pit that sometimes we find ourselves in. Now somebody may ask the question, you've been talking about this stimulus plan or this stimulus package that God has, where is it? Where can I find it in the Word of God? Well, obviously, you can find it described in various ways and various passages of Scripture in the Bible, and it involves different things. But I want to just notice one place that really the reason I'm going to it is because this is a group of passages of Scripture where I think, in a sense, Paul gives us God's stimulus plan to help us get out of a pit. Is found over in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 4. I want to say, first of all, remember, this is one of Paul's prison epistles. Think about that. When Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he is literally in a prison cell. And I want to ask you tonight, what is a prison cell if it's not a pit? In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the prison cell that Paul was in literally was a pit. It was probably a damp dungeon, if you please, that he was sitting in. But you know what? As he writes this letter to the Philippians, he's not down and out, and he's not discouraged, because he begins to talk about rejoicing. Now listen, here's this stimulus plan, we might say, that he gives to the Philippians, beginning with verse 4 in chapter 4. The first thing is this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can we climb out of this recession? What should we do? Rejoice, Paul says. Rejoice. How do you rejoice? Well, obviously, if you're going to rejoice in the Lord, you've got to think about those things that are a cause of rejoicing. In other words, he's saying, don't dwell on the negative, but dwell on the positive. Dwell on the many great spiritual blessings that you have in Jesus Christ. As that song says, count your blessings and name them one by one. And you know what? If we'll do that, we will rejoice. We have a lot more to be rejoicing about than we have to be crying about tonight if we're in Jesus Christ and we're serving him. But he doesn't stop there. Notice in verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. How do we get out of this deep recession? Keep climbing out of it, Paul says. The word moderation here means humility and considerateness. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying, don't panic, don't quit, don't give up. You be kind and you be gracious, and you decide, no matter what kind of circumstance you find yourself in, that you're going to keep doing the right thing and keep living for the Lord. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry about anything. Now that's simple enough to say, isn't it? It's easy to tell somebody, don't worry. But that's what Paul says. Instead of worrying, he says, but in everything by prayer, there it is, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Are you in a spiritual recession tonight? A spiritual pit? Pray your way out, Paul says. Keep praying your way out. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. Amen. Keep praying to God and drawing from that strength that comes from prayer. And finally, he says this. In fact, he uses the word finally in verse 8. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue, if there be any praise, what does he say? Think on these things. In other words, he's saying, think your way out. Think your way out of this spiritual recession. You start thinking and dwelling on the things of the Spirit, upon the things of God. You keep reading and meditating upon the Word of God, and surely you're going to find the strength therein that's going to help you to climb out of this spiritual recession that all of us from time to time find ourselves in. Let's use God's stimulus plan or package that he's provided us with. And if we'll do that, we'll be able to climb down into that pit even on a snowy day and slay that lion, as it were. We'll be able to find the strength that we need to live for the Lord.